when I wake, I know that He is with me. When I'm weak, I know that He is strong. Though I fall, His arm is there to lean on, safe on the rock of Jesus. We're going to continue that theme with a reading from Jenny, Psalm 23.
Psalm 23, very familiar but very beautiful. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
If you'd like to turn to our second reading, it's in Proverbs chapter 3. Familiar passage, I think, or certainly a couple of verses will be. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in. This is the word of the Lord. We prayed together the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think sometimes that can seem a bit remote? Thy will be done on earth. It's kind of a bit expansive, isn't it? Where on earth? Who does it involve? What if it's where I am? Where you are? With me, with you. Thy will be done with me. That's a bit more challenging, isn't it? What is His will for me, for you? It may not always seem pleasant. Perhaps it will involve ill health or persecution for being faithful to God. What did Paul think of God's will for him, I wonder? He refers to it in Romans 12:2 as His good, pleasing and perfect will. But if we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a few verses beginning at verse 24. It's 2 Corinthians 11:24. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Bit of a rough time, you'd say, wouldn't you? Did Paul pray, "Thy will be done with me"? Well, actually, we know he did. We can we can see that in the things that he wrote that has been incorporated into Scripture, God's word to us. But to honestly apply "Thy will be done" to ourselves requires a high degree of trust, doesn't it? In the early summer of 2000, God called me unmistakably to serve full time at LL Ministries, just south of Lancaster. It would mean no regular income. We had no savings, not a lot of equity in our house, so we would probably have to move from a very nice location in Windermere to the poorer parts of Lancaster. Julie and I explained this to the children and we prayed together. Tom, who was 8 at the time, prayed something like this: "Lord, we'd really rather not lose our house, but if that's what you want, then that's okay." Trust. Jesus said we need to be like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think part of that is the attitude of trust. We're not talking about blind trust. A child doesn't necessarily trust everyone without discernment. They trust those they know. The better we know God, the more we will learn that he is trustworthy. We need to be founded upon the word of God. But experience also is a great teacher. The more we experience God in our lives, the more we draw close to him, the more we will be able to trust him. I think it's often easier to trust God when our own resources are exhausted. I suspect that's why God's call to LL came once our finances were at rock bottom. It meant we had to rely on him rather than on what we possessed. A small child doesn't have many resources, well, not usually anyway, and therefore relies necessarily on its parents. And if it has loving and resourceful parents, it should not, in the long term, be disappointed. I say in the long term because every wise parent knows that it's not always best to give a child everything they ask for. And they may be disappointed for a time. They don't understand why something is withheld. God is wise. As we read in Proverbs 3 verse 12, he disciplines those he loves. But a word of warning. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's easier said than done, actually. We kind of grow up with that sense of learning to stand on our own 2 feet. And there's a certain appropriateness to that. But it tends to become easier then to try and rely on ourselves and not rely on God, or not trust in God, not allow him to have his way, or not even to go to him and say, what shall I be doing here, Father? Or how should I do that? where will I have the strength, Lord? You know, it can be quite easy to get into a way of living life based on our own experience and abilities and material possessions, upon people we know that help us, perhaps relying on the state. These things are good things, but not if they replace God in our thinking, not if they're the first things that we go to and God becomes the last one that we go to. So the warning: do not lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. We need to have faith in Him. We need to seek Him, moment by moment, really, for His guidance. In 1999, I'd been made redundant, and the circumstances of it, however, seemed, perhaps I could use the word fortuitous, or well-timed. I received quite a decent redundancy payment, and I had had an approach just prior to being made redundant from an organisation that were wanting to use me as a consultant. And I'd been thinking for a while about perhaps setting up a consultancy. So, kind of naturally, if that's the right word, I thought, well, okay, Lord, this is obviously your timing. You know, the redundancy funds me while I get this consultancy business set up. And for a few weeks it seemed to, you know, be gathering momentum in terms of interest. And this client was apparently willing to pay a lot of money for my services over the course of the following year. And then it just evaporated. Someone came along and said, oh, we can do that for you, to this organisation. We can do that for you for nothing. Hard to compete with that, isn't it? And so I said, okay, well, Lord, what's gone wrong here? And then I realised that I'd actually assumed, I'd trusted on my own understanding. I saw circumstances that appeared to have God's hand firmly behind them. But I didn't actually come to Him and say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Well, I probably did, kind of in passing, as it were, is this what you want me to do, Lord? But with that kind of underlying assumption that's kind of saying, yeah, I can see that this is what you want me to do, Lord. Do you know what I mean? There's a subtle distinction, isn't there, between that and saying, well, Lord, it appears that this might be what you want me to do, but I'm going to seek you carefully and diligently because I only want to do what you have for me. So it seemed that I had presumed upon His will and not really sought Him to find out what His will was, but I had lent on my own understanding, and that let me down. It was some months later then that He called me to serve at LL. God doesn't always do things in the way we might expect. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So often we can see circumstances, things that happen to us or around us, and think, why on earth did you let that happen, Lord? It's a question that many people who reject God seem to ask. They're all too ready to blame God for something that they perceive as being a bad thing. Sometimes it's the tough circumstances around somebody who doesn't know Jesus that brings them to a point where they receive him and their lives are transformed. And that suffering that is actually short-lived is the way to open a door through to a blessed eternity. His ways, not our ways. And it can be difficult to understand sometimes. For those who do know Jesus, who do serve him, we're not immune to life's difficulties, are we? And sometimes we say, Lord, why? Why? And sometimes there doesn't seem to be an answer from him, except the answer may simply be, trust me with all your heart. Because of course God has also said that in all things he will work for the good of those that love him. In all things. Yes, there are certainly times in life when you just can't understand why something should be happening. That's where you have to say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. But I do trust you because I know your love. I know your love. Your love that is so deep that Jesus, you went to that cross for me. For me. I was reminded yesterday, it actually came up in a conversation Tom was having with somebody. People often point to the Jews as having killed Jesus. And you have to ask yourself, well, hang on, why was it that Jesus died? Who is responsible? And you have to answer, it's me. I'm responsible for Jesus' death. Because he died for me. We sing it so often in our hymns, don't we? We say it so often when we read the scriptures. We read it so often. He died for me. That is the depth of his love. Is the one who loves like that someone we can trust in the tough times, trust with the things that we don't understand? I hope the answer is yes. So God doesn't always do things in the ways we might expect, nor does he necessarily do things at the time we might expect. So often we are praying for something and wondering why there appears to be no change. Back in 1989, I'm going further and further back, aren't I? In 1989, I'd come to the conclusion that God was actually saying I should move from Hampshire, where I was living, up to Cumbria. And this had been a kind of growing thought over the previous 2 years. It had been growing gradually because initially the response to the thought was, I don't know, God can't be calling me to move to Cumbria. That's far too nice. It's odd, isn't it? You know, the idea that God wouldn't call us to do something that's rather nice. But anyway, the thought grew and grew and grew till a point at which I did, on that occasion, diligently seek him about it in prayer, and received what appeared to be a number of confirmations. And so I decided to put my name down with an agency that placed accountants in jobs, and they said, well, you know, you realise that salaries are probably a bit lower up here than they are down south. I said, that's not a problem, I'm willing to take a cut. And so then for the next 5 months I waited for the phone to ring. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Which was quite odd, because, you know, there seemed to be lots of jobs, you know, in the press and so on. But the phone from the agency didn't ring. So I thought, oh, okay, Lord, must have got it wrong. Lord, if I don't get a call from the agency within the next 2 weeks, I'll take my name off their list. So then, I think it was within a few days, the phone rang, and the agency said, well, we've got a position in Langdale, would you be interested? Langdale? Definitely. It was at that... No, maybe move on a bit. Attended the interview, had the second interview, got the job, actually at a higher salary than I was on down south, and a car. At that point, we remembered what we had prayed right at the beginning. Because of the distance and the inconvenience of, you know, attending interviews at 600-odd-mile round trip, we prayed, Lord, would you only provide an interview for the job that you want me to have? Why did I wait 5 months? Because I'd asked God if he would provide only the right post. So his timing, you know, I might have said, well, he could have provided the post 5 months earlier. No, his timing is not always what we might expect. And it serves us well to remember that. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight, or can be translated, he will direct your paths. Trust opens the door to a blessing. When I went to LL, I knew that there were some kind of expense allowances that you're supposed to live by. But having done the calculations, I knew that there wasn't enough there to actually get as far as providing for food for the family. You know, by the time we got travel and so on, and paying bills on the house and what have you. I think it was about the first day I went there, somebody else on the team said, oh, hope you've got a credit card, because often there isn't enough money to actually pay the expense allowances anyway. I said, well, I believe that God has called me here, and I don't believe he'd do that without providing for me, so I'm not intending to use the credit card. And in the first 5 months, we actually received about 6 weeks' worth of the allowances. And usually there was nothing in the bank account, but it was never in the red. And we were never hungry. We weren't able to be lavish, but that wasn't a problem. As Paul says, I learned to be abased and to abound. That's probably King James Version. I learned to be in need and in plenty. That's what Paul said. Actually, I think you'd say we were never in need. God always provided for the couple of years that I was there, often in miraculous ways. What people of no faith would call coincidences. Maybe I'll tell you some of those another day, but far-fetched to call them coincidences. God will look after us if only we trust him. If we acknowledge him, he will make our path straight. I've suddenly gone quiet. Has my battery died? I think it might have. Let's see. You're back on this one now, are we? Thank you, Ron. So, trust opens a door to blessing. God's just waiting to bless us. And it may not be that it's always going to be with great abundance. May not always be a kind of champagne hamper from Fortnum & Mason's, although that's what one of the team at LL returned to the house to find on the doorstep one day. when you see God working to provide for you in miraculous ways, it's such a joy. If we trust him, we can enjoy those blessings. And finally, trust prevents anxiety. One of the things I note about modern life, certainly in the West, is there seems to be so much absence from work, for instance, due to anxiety and stress. I think it's now overtaken back problems as the greatest cause of absence from work. Anxiety and stress. We don't need to have that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you need not have anxiety and stress. Okay, sometimes that seems, well, it is easier said than done. We do naturally start to be concerned about things in a way that causes us anxiety and stress. But God says, I don't want you to have that anxiety and stress. Trust me. Do you not know that I'll always provide for you? Have you not read the 23rd Psalm? No. God wants to replace anxiety with peace. Perhaps my favourite hymn in some ways has a simple chorus, and I think that's one of the reasons I like it. It's a very simple message, but I think it's absolutely spot on theologically. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.